Well, good morning, everybody. Today, every now and again, we have the joy of having the feast that we celebrate today, the Nativity of John the Baptist, fall on a Sunday. And when it does, it trumps the normal thing that we'd be celebrating on that Sunday. So normally it'd be the 12th Sunday of Ordinary Time, but here we have John the Baptist. It's one of two birthdays that we celebrate, the other being Jesus. And so in our liturgical year. And so I think there's a lot of good reasons why. It goes back, by the way, they've been celebrating it on June 24th, this solemnity of John the Baptist's birthday, ever since the 4th century. And turns out there's a beautiful tradition of eating snails on the feast day of John the Baptist. So if you find a snail, eat it, I guess. And I didn't know why until last night, and I'm still not sure I know the full story. But apparently it had something to do with they were looking for a way to celebrate. And you know how we have like birthday candles and things like that. Well, they didn't have candles as readily available. Wax was harder to come by. And so they would take these snails, which were everywhere, and they would pluck out the snail, eat it, and then use the snail shell to put some oil in there, and then there'd be like thousands of little lights, like luminaries. Who knows? But it's cool. So eat snails today. And I was thinking of maybe two questions that we ought to ask ourselves on this most beautiful feast day. Who is John the Baptist in my life, in our lives? Who's our John the Baptist? And the second question is, for whom are we John the Baptist? And I just want to reflect a little bit on that first one first. You know, who is John the Baptist in our life? John the Baptist, he's a big deal because he points to Jesus. You know, his big mantra was that he might increase, that I might decrease. You looked at John the Baptist, you couldn't see John the Baptist, you saw him pointing to Jesus. And I think that's, thanks be to God, a grace in our life that we have a lot of people like that. That we have a lot of people pointing their way to Jesus. I just had the grace the other day, somebody sent me out of the blue a picture from my first communion, and there was Father Charlie Chesbrough, who was larger than life. And he was my priest growing up, and there we are. There were 40 of us kids, and he had his arm right around me. And I thought, even then, I was a favorite. But I just love that man. And I was thinking about how much that priest pointed me to Jesus, and how much my parents pointed me to Jesus, how much my brother pointed me to Jesus, and still do, all of these folks. Of course, the greatest John the Baptist in our life is the church. The church's teachings, the church's rules and things, which we love. The Psalms are a collection of hymns and thanksgiving to God for his rules and commandments. That God is so good that he gives us a map to holiness and happiness, you know? And the church is our John the Baptist. The church points to Jesus. The church points to heaven, to a better way. And by the way, when John the Baptist is pointing to Jesus, it's like our second reading today. It talks about how he came to proclaim a baptism of repentance. Well, that word repentance in Greek is metanoia, which means a change of mind and a change of heart. What John the Baptist came to do was to point people to the Lord and change their hearts, change their minds. Because sometimes, I don't know about you, but I've found some stubborn people, you know, and Holy Moses, you know, these folk and people, and I have to admit, I'm there with them sometimes. But I'm convinced that my way is the best way, and God forbid should anybody try to change it. But the thing of it is that John the Baptist knew very well in his humility that he didn't necessarily know the best way. And it's okay for others to help us and change our minds, change our hearts, that we might come closer to Jesus. So, you know, I'm thinking about all these people, parents, priests, the church. But I tell you what, I think that everything that happens in our life, all our circumstances, the joys and the crosses, are things that are pointing us to the Lord and are changing our mind, and God wants to use them to change our minds and change our hearts. Bishop Cousins was our speaker at our priest convocation. There were over 100 priests. All of the living priests that have served here were there, with one exception. And it was a fabulous time. We had the most beautiful time together in prayer and fraternity. But, you know, we priests talk an awful lot. It's nice to listen sometimes. And we had a speaker come in from St. Paul, Minneapolis, in Minnesota. He was as an auxiliary bishop there, and this guy was just, he rocked our worlds, you know, and he was talking about how everything in our life, God is using it, even our sins. Could you imagine? God is using it to bring us closer. He talked about how Peter's denial is one of the only things that is in all four of the Gospels. And how God allowed Peter to commit that mortal sin. He didn't will that he do it, but he permitted it so that Peter would be humbled as our first pope. And Peter did. He turned out to be an incredibly humble man. And the point of it is, God uses all of our circumstances in life to change our minds and change our hearts. And he said, you know, all you priests better be doing a holy hour every day. And you know, I've been doing that. And I raised my hand, and I said, I don't know that I'm doing it right. You know, what does your holy hour look like? And he said, I pray morning prayer for 15 minutes, and I chant it. And then he says, and the rest of my holy hour, I ask myself in prayer, right with Jesus in front of me. I say, where did I encounter Jesus since my last holy hour? And what, not just to identify it, but to say, what was God doing there? Like, why? Why did he let me go through that thing? And what is my response to it? Well, anyway, so here's an example. I've been doing this ever since he's talked. Yesterday morning, Friday, rewind, I spent 2 hours looking for the bus key. I lost the dumb thing and I couldn't find it anywhere. And you know what it's like when you lose something and you just can't find the dumb thing. And so I looked everywhere and it was just killing me. I couldn't sleep that night because I was like, where is that key? It's the only copy that I have. And whatever. So I wake up on Saturday morning. I do my holy hour at 6:30 in the morning. And I'm praying. And I said, well, that's what's captivating my mind most recently, is the fact that I've lost this key. And so I prayed with that. And what's interesting is that the Lord gave me a lot of different things. The Lord said to me, in a way, I felt him saying, if you're going so fast from A to B to C to D that you lose a key, you're probably missing out on more important things too. Like, maybe you're even missing me in one of my sons or daughters. So I thought, oh, that's interesting. And then I got to thinking about how maybe I've lost something more important than a key sometimes. Like, I was thinking, the Lord put in my heart a good friend of mine. We were best friends for some time, and there's just been a distance that's developed. I know it's normal, but I've kind of lost that friendship. And all of this because I lost the key, you know? And in other words, this situation was a John the Baptist moment for me, because it has pointed me to a change of mind, a change of heart. Just the fact that I lost that key. By the way, I found it. It was underneath this dangerous stairwell going up and down the sacristy. Who knows? But all of the things that happened to us are John the Baptist moments. And we, if we're faithful, we can allow these moments, these things that happen, some we like, some we don't, to change our minds and change our hearts. And we'll find the finger of the good Lord pointing. And the second question is, For whom are we, John the Baptist? You know, and it better be a lot of people, because the Lord, by our very baptism, when we're baptized, the priest or the deacon says, you are a priest, prophet, and king. And I want to think about that prophet, because all of us have a prophetic vocation by the nature of our very baptism, that we are called to point others to the Lord, to bring about a conversion of heart and mind in our families, in our friends, and in everybody in the whole bloody world. And I think sometimes it's simple stuff that we can do, like putting a Bible verse on Instagram or on Facebook, or maybe writing a letter to somebody and saying, I haven't thought of you for a while, just checking in, and I was reading the scriptures and this verse popped out at me and just wanted to share it with you. You never know whose mind, whose heart is going to be changed by that. You know, it's unreal to think about what can happen. It's also things like actually mentioning Jesus to people and actually inviting people into church. You know, I think sometimes we can be afraid of that because we don't want people to think we're weird, but it's okay to be weird. And really, we're not, you know, it's like it's the best. And we should want that everybody have what we have, most especially the most holy Eucharist, which is the very presence of our dear and precious Jesus. We should want that everybody be a part. And so it's a good question. For whom are we, John the Baptist? Who are we pointing to Jesus? And who are we working, you know? And the Lord is working through us and all of that. So those are two good questions for us to consider on this most beautiful day as we eat snails and celebrate. Bishop Cousins, he said that one time he was given a homily at 6:30 in the morning to a whole bunch of nuns. And you know how nuns can be sometimes. And he said, well, since I'm talking to all these nuns, I got to come up with something real good, you know, something real theological. And so he gave a pretty long homily. And afterwards, one of the nuns comes up and says, Father, that was a beautiful homily. Every time I woke up, you were saying something very inspiring. And when he told that story, I couldn't help but think of some of the things that Sister Joan has told me. Anyway, God bless us all. We pray that we can be John the Baptist to people, pointing them to the good Lord. And we pray that we will have eyes open to see all of the circumstances in our lives and all the people in our lives that are pointing us to the good Lord too. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.